This is Bruce Marable from Employee Cycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and during this crisis as you're currently managing your own workforce and everything that you have going on from a personal perspective. But we really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and wisdom around how companies can help reduce employee stress and anxiety during coronavirus. So I would love for you to introduce yourself, tell us your company, where you're located, your headcount, and then we can go into the interview.
Great. Thank you for having me, Bruce. I really appreciate it. My name is Joe Hessling, and I am the CEO of 365 Retail Markets. We are a kiosk, self-checkout, and unattended retail technology company based in Troy, Michigan. We have about 260 employees worldwide with offices in Kansas City, in Utah, and in California, and we have a small team overseas based in the London area.
Awesome. So now with today being April 23rd, we are a month and a half or so, almost 2 months into this. And so what I would love to learn from you is, what was the initial response that you had for all of your employees and workforce in regards to managing how they would work, what would communication look like? And now that we've gotten to a point where a meaningful number of people may have actually gotten used to this, what does that look like now, and what's the difference?
Good question. So the beginnings came pretty early in the crisis for us. I happened to be with one of our customers overseas in Zurich. And they were close to where things really started to sprout up in Italy. And people were very nerve-wracked about coronavirus at that time. So I was with them and watched how their team sort of reacted to this and immediately came back to the United States. And when I came back, I was a little bit ahead of the curve of understanding how people were looking at it and how it was going to affect business. And then it was actually real. And so that was late February, and beginning about a week later, there started to be some cases in the United States, and it really triggered a fast response from our team. And we looked at a couple of things. One, how quickly we could shut the offices down. We didn't want to, of course, we wanted to have all of our staff completely healthy. And we didn't want to put them at unnecessary risk. Secondarily, we didn't want to put our business at risk by having a group of people out and unable to perform and provide services. And finally, we didn't want to be the ones that brought our, if anyone did have coronavirus, we didn't want to bring it to our customers and put them out of business if that was the case. So we took a very quick and drastic approach to it by just halting all travel, stopping all meetings, and beginning to work on a work-from-home process. And that was the hardest thing for us. In the past, we'd always thought that we have a very large phone support team, about 50, 60 people, and we weren't sure that we would be able to work from home. We didn't have the IT in place. We didn't have the team hadn't been trained on it. We didn't have the just basic know-how, how to operate a remote team of that size. But it quickly came together. Our leadership did a great job and got people home. And that really changed things for us. We were about a week ahead of anybody doing any mandatory shutdowns. And it turned out in the end that we were an essential business anyway. We were allowed to continue. But even with that, we decided that it was best interest for our customers and for our staff to just remain at home. And what's the second part of your question was, how does that kind of change going forward? And we think post coronavirus, we will be definitely using work from home more than we have in the past. Again, we didn't think that we could do it, but this proved that we could. And since it proved that we could, it really helps a lot with flexibility, with being, you know, our employees definitely love working from home more than they do working in an office. Not entirely only one or the other, but they do appreciate it. And we haven't found that it stopped any of our services from happening. So we're going to definitely play it by ear, but use that more as an option going forward.
You mentioned that you didn't think you could work remotely. And I'm curious, what were some of those barriers that you thought you couldn't overcome? Because I've been hearing this repeatedly where companies were saying, we didn't think that we were ever able to work remotely, but now that we've been forced to do it, we see that we can. So what were some of your concerns or challenges you thought you would have with remote work?
Well, definitely on the support side. So we are a hardware and software company. So on the software side, most of our staff is, you know, flexible, can work from home when they want to or when they need to. And they are remote in many different states as part of the team. We also are a hardware company. And so as a hardware company, we assemble hardware and we test it and we have to interact with it. So there's a group of people that cannot work from home and frankly still do come into the office. About 20 people out of our 260 come into the offices around the world today to be able to help and do their job. But the support staff was the biggest concern for me. I was really worried that the support staff wasn't going to be able to interact. They were so used to relying on each other and having supervisors available and training available at all times. And without that, and without really the tools to be able to communicate or to be effective or even measure effectivity, that was my biggest concern. And honestly, most of the concern really came from past leadership. And the past leadership of those departments didn't want it to happen. I'm sure they felt that they couldn't control it as much. But with the new leadership, they fell right into it, took it over, and as this happened, rolled it out and just made it happen. The IT, as I mentioned before, was a bit of a struggle. Imagine, you know, 100 people in a building and you need something fixed on your computer, you simply walk to IT. We can't do that anymore. That has to be done remotely. Our phone systems were all part of one phone system with software running on each one of them that was allowing us to manage inflow and do all types of different things through technology. We had to quickly spin up something that was equivalent and do that in each person's home. So there were some technical challenges for sure, and there were some communication challenges as well. But like I said, it worked out better than expected, and it's part of our long-term strategy going forward.
Speaking of communication challenges, one of the things that's been really interesting to better understand from doing these podcasts now for almost about, I guess, 3 weeks when it comes to COVID-related issues is how companies actually manage communications, whether it's a lot of top-down from the CEO or business owner to everyone else, so more of a broadcast town hall strategy. Is it the CEO, president, owner talking to leadership and then communication trickling down? Is it the senior leadership having one-on-ones with the individual employees or all combinations of in between those spectrums? So what does communication look like for you as you're looking to provide as much certainty as possible to your team?
Well, it's most of what you mentioned. I think communication is extremely important for what we're going through right now, not only from a perspective of just what the business is going through, but a lot of people are lonely and they're at home and they need help. They need to have something that they can rely on. And so I believe that it's important for us as leaders and for the business community to step up and be that for our staff members. So we've done many different things. I am a pretty hands-on person in this business. And so I like to take the lead in certain areas and then kind of set the tone for the other senior leadership to do as well or to emulate. What I mean by that is we do have a weekly all staff where we go over the state of the business, the state of our customers and our initiatives and things related to each of the employees and any changes, you know, that would affect them in any way. And so we do that every single week, whereas before we only met once a month, now we meet every single week. I've had personal phone calls with, I would say, 80% of our 260 employees, and we do that every single week. I have 2 to 3 hours scheduled a week of just that, personal phone calls and catching up with members, just to make sure, and I try to keep those phone calls personal rather than business related, because I find that, you know, often people get nervous when the CEO calls them, and all I'm trying to do is check to make sure they're healthy and their family is healthy. I also, you know, have many more meetings than I had in the past, and they are mostly related to management and leaders, senior leaders, and then coming up with plans and focus areas, and then driving that down from there. So I don't generally get involved in the business functions of the ground level employees. I do work that through the leadership, but the personal things, I definitely get involved person to person and will continue to do so throughout this entire escapade. I think it's very important. You've built a team, you've built a company, and during times like this when the government is not really looked at as a knowledge source for too much, I think it's the business's time to step in and provide a little bit of structure and leadership so that people feel comfortable. So we do those things as well as, I can tell you, our busiest department is probably HR, because HR is just involved. I'm having, you know, several times a day calls with HR to talk about people in different situations and what needs to happen and how we can help. And also our director of communications, I speak with on a regular basis, and we set the tone. And we're doing a lot more than we did in the past, probably 4 or 5 times more than we did in the past. But in speaking with the employees, they really appreciate that. They're happy to know that someone's thinking about them, and they're also happy to know that someone's being transparent. So there's nothing to hide right now. The business is not good, and there are very few companies in the world that can say business is good for them, and they probably don't feel all that great about it when it is. So I have no problem being transparent and talking about the plans and being a voice of leadership for people in a time of need. It's what we do for a living.
Thank you so much for being such a source of wisdom and knowledge and sharing your experience, which I hope will really help a lot of the listeners out there who are still trying to find their way and figure out how they can help their employees navigate through this crisis. Really appreciate your time. I hope you, your family, and your team, you all stay safe and stay healthy. And again, I thank you for sharing this information. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And thank you for all that you do.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.